This is Speaking of Events, the podcast for event industry leaders. We bring together innovators, strategic rock stars, and visionary creatives to talk all about events, industry trends, and anything in between. And speaking of events, here is your host, Carrie Garbus.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have had your caffeine this morning or in this last moment, or maybe a kombucha, or maybe a sweet tea. We were just talking about sweet tea. Anything that you need to be up and on for this one. You need some caffeine or some sort of stimulant. I'm not a proponent of drugs or anything. I'm saying you need something for this episode because today's guest is fun. She's energetic. She likes to get out there and shake hands, which I also love, by the way, and probably knows more about animals than your average event professional. We're going to get into all of this as we welcome the manager of global events at Cyber Reason. It is none other than the fabulous, and I'm so excited to have you here, Ashley Grandis. Welcome to Speaking of Events.
Thank you so much, Carrie. Yes, bringing all the energy on set today. Thank you for having me. Super excited to join you all.
Yeah, when you need, do you ever need an energy boost or is this where you live all the time?
Oh my goodness. Well, people bring me energy, but I am a coffee addict myself. Can't see the floor here, representing Texas.
I was going to say in the blur, it looks like Texas. I didn't want to assume. Okay, so it's a Texas mug. All right. Excellent. So you've got some Texas coffee. Is that what's in the cup? Do you want to disclose what's in the cup? Okay, great. Great. All right. Well, we're going to jump right in and ask you, like we do all our guests, what is the one thing you wished more people knew about events?
Love it. I'll say events and marketing in general.
Yes.
When you say marketing, I feel like people kind of pigeonhole each other into, oh, you do pretty pictures or pretty words, or you do brand, or there's so many different various avenues within marketing. And I think that that's something that it's such a valuable and broad area as a whole. I'd say for me, I think a lot of people don't really know about what field marketing is and field marketing within events and how much that impacts the business as a whole. So I would love to entertain and talk to you all about that today.
Okay. So what is field marketing for events? Tell us, please.
Yes. So one, as you said, loving to be the handshake in the field. My job is to be the liaison between the field, our clients, our prospects, but really working together with our sales teams and customer success and our marketing partners internally to build pipeline and close deals.
Tell me more. What's your favorite part?
My favorite part. I love that I can do all the organization and strategy, but it's really getting the playbook together and really building that energy with my sales team and saying, hey, we've got this even virtual charcuterie coming up. It's an easy way to drive sales. You know, cold calls are hard. Personally, I'm not in sales, but I'm that bridge. I don't do pretty pictures and words, but I don't also close deals on the phone. I'm this liaison where I'm able to give the tools that sales needs to have that fun conversation, whether it's on the phone or whether it's getting out in the field. So say, hey, we're doing a charcuterie event. How cool is it to be able to say, hey, you want to come drink some wine, have some cheese and chocolate? We'll have a little bit of conversation. At the end of the day, people are people, and it's really enjoyable to be able to have these events where our sales teams are able to build relationships that go above and beyond just talking about technology.
Have you run into anybody who doesn't like charcuterie? Because I wouldn't trust them. And I'm wondering if you do.
I hate to say it, Carrie. I love charcuterie. I don't eat dairy, but hey, I will take all your salami or pepperoni, pass it my way, the vino, but you can take all the cheese for me.
Okay. I'll fight you for the meat and I'll take your cheese. That's fine. Wow. I can really deep dive into that, but we're going to move back towards events.
I think you've got a loophole, Carrie. You don't want to go down.
I mean, cause yeah, we could talk about a dairy. Yeah. Forget it. Okay. Moving on or back, I should say, what's going on in your world today? Would you talk a little bit about what is this role that you currently have at Cyber Reason?
Yes. Yeah, so when I'm a manager of global events, so I oversee some of our tentpole trade show events. So we have within cybersecurity, Black Hat, RSA, Gartner, in addition to a lot of EMEA-based events in DACH, UK, France. So working with our RMMs and their field teams to make sure they're set up for success internally and can go out in the field and make the most of that brand presence. And then from a North America perspective, we have different regional events. Right now, we have a big focus on virtual in addition to in-person. So virtually, we have our curated where we'll have one of our SEs or we'll have one of our speakers jump in, kind of intro, talk a little about what Cyber Reason is, what we do for our product. And then we skip to the fun stuff for the next 50 to 60 minutes, whether that's, I mean, people, I would say, Carrie, I don't know if I can promote it, but drinking and eating is a big part of what we do. Everyone loves it. It connects people, whether it's pasta, whether it's, you know, drinking some whiskey. We do have some fun activities too. Cyber people, man, they love lock picking. And I did not know that that was a legal thing. For now it is. And it's super exciting. Our guests, they love to use their brains and really come out of their shell to kind of put the pieces together to lock pick virtually.
Are they drinking whiskey while they're lock picking?
I would not recommend this. I have not tried this. It could be a fun idea, but no, we have not. Maybe that's an upcoming event, Carrie.
I just think you could do a whole, like a Nancy Drew type thing or from, you know, she takes out the hairpin and like, that's, I wanted to be that girl that was really crafty to be able to like take, cause I have a lot of hair. You can't see it today cause it's pulled back, but like I can hide a lot of things in there and I could pull out a pin and be like, wait, I'll get us in.
Become a murder mystery, a drama brought to you by Carrie, learning to pick along the way.
Yes. It's an upcoming side hustle. Just stand by for that. Okay. So you're doing these very, very cool events that typically involve food. So I'm already a mega fan because it's events and food.
Who doesn't love food?
You said one of my favorite magic words, which is speakers. So how do you get your speakers ready? Do you have any prep things that you specifically do provide for them? Anything you want to share?
Yeah, absolutely. First, it's kind of seeing the event saying, hey, what's the speaking session? And we, you know, as speaker managers, we'll go out and say, I think this gal or this man is probably going to be our best fit. So one, it's not voluntold, but we kind of have an idea of who we want to kind of pitch the idea. Are you available? Are you interested? So we lock that in, we gain interest, and then it kind of comes down to the logistics. If it's an on-demand recording, if it's in person, we'll usually kind of show them what the deliverables are, what the timeline is, what the topic will be, and any kind of parameters. We do like to set up a prep session. We do offer, our creative team is able to help kind of make the decks pretty because sometimes they're great at speaking, but we need some kind of help to make sure that the brand looks good when it's out there in front of hundreds of people. So speaker
That's
prep.
Pretty cool. Absolutely. And what have you run into any challenges of speakers, pre-recorded speaker sessions? That we were seeing a lot of challenges in kind of the height of the pandemic. And I'm wondering now or recently, were there challenges specific to, I think in-person speaking has its own challenges, pre-recorded speaking, what challenges that, if any, did you see?
Yeah, I would say honestly with the pre-recorded, we do have the time to edit and it does go better in our favor. I would say the live or semi-live is where we kind of run into trouble with the speaking sessions where I'm in technology. I've been in different startups. I've been in different technology across different industries. And, you know, you boast yourself as a technological expert and yet a speaker can't figure out how to join Zoom or
me today earlier.
It happens. We're people.
Right. Yes. Thank you. Happens. Full disclosure, audience, we had to start 10 minutes late because I had a computer explosion. It's fine. It happens. Yes.
A restart never fails. Right. No, but there's some things, you know, within the events, whether it's live or virtual, things happen and it's technology and it happens to the best of us. I've been on one event where we were doing this live demo session and we do have myself as the moderator. I have another RMM or someone else as my counterpart giving the intro. and we were passing it off. And now here's our technical expert who's going to run you through the demo. Silence. Looking, I'm like, where is this? Where is our speaker? What is happening? I can fill the room all day, but neither of us had that technical knowledge. So apparently, similar to your case this morning, his computer decided it was a grand old time to reboot, fry, and he lost connection. So it was a mix of dad jokes and fill in the room. It's when, you know, you feel all of the eyes are on you when they start to say, is this part of the event? And then they kind of start, they kind of started to feel bad. Like, oh, you know, it's okay. Like, this happens to us, you know, and you're just mortified that the live event did not go the way you planned. But that's part of the event business. And I think a very key point is you can plan to a T, but the biggest struggle I find with an event is it never goes to plan. Ever.
Oh, no. Nothing ever goes to plan. I think that the pandemic and the height of the virtual events and the virtual communication, that it humanized people and experiences in a way that we hadn't seen before. I think that a lot more is tolerated now, right? You'll see people in meetings with babies and yes. and half-dressed people walking behind you. Thus, it's always a smart to have the blur. Ashley's got the blurred background right now, right? So,
an increase in empathy. You're right. Yes. And I think it has shifted where, I mean, I used to go into the office every day. And to be honest, wow, time flies. I have not been in an office setting since 2020. The extroverted self here does not go into the office. I've been full-time remote. So that is a big shift, but it's possible. Yeah.
And I feel that as well as an extrovert. I understand. And my follow-up question is then, do you own any pants? Because you're just waist up at this point.
I promise you, Carrie, I thought about that long and hard today. I was like, I think I should have put the pants on. No. Full advocate of dress.
We'll never know. Who cares? No one will ever know. Right. It's a mystery. All right. Well, okay. You talked a little bit about one kind of demo disaster. Any other speaker disasters you want to share? Because I love those and I love to get juicy with those, if you have any.
Yes. So it's one thing when you're in the comfort of your home, kind of having a technical disaster, but imagine being in a room when you've put your whole quarter or two into making this live event a beautiful piece, have partners, have a room full of 50 people, and you get to that technological piece and you can't log into the software. Again, it is having all eyes on you when, as an event person, I couldn't step in to assist, just mitigate. Yeah. And I think that was the biggest disaster, is knowing how can I help my people, but I physically don't know your password right now. That was one. We've also done huge, some of the trade show and conferences. They're a big chunk of our budget, just because they, you know, upwards of 15, 30, some are over 100K, and you're banking on getting those leads and building that pipeline. And we have certain, you know, being able to speak and have some of our thought leaders go is such a valuable piece of that, so that we can engage in the field and share our knowledge. So I've had a disaster where the event was running smoothly after the booth didn't show up. We fixed that. That was fine after another event saga continues. Got all that squared away. We were ready to kick it off. No one had to see all of that. We just internalized it and the show must go on. But imagine being prepared to give a lovely presentation. You've had your speakers fly out, give their time, expense it, and you're expecting a room of 50 people and our speakers are talking to two.
That's so hard.
And it crushes my soul, right? Because being a field marketer, being at global events, you're like, what happened here? Was it something along the way with promotions? Was it something along the way where we had a conflict in other competing sessions that caught the eye more? But at the end of the day, you talk to those people and you just have to roll with the punches. It's not ideal, but you have to roll with whatever you're handed that day. And that's part of events.
Yes. that's when, as speaker coach, I would say, okay, go down, grab the mic, go down and sit on the end of the stage, as long as not you're not getting some feedback, or drop the mic and go have a conversation with your two people in the audience.
You've got to be flexible. You have to flip the script.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh, that hurt my heart a little bit. Okay.
Hopefully it made others feel a little bit better. That's also what I'm here today. We're all people and we all have these experiences, and it's okay to talk about it. It's great to not gloat, but toot your own horn sometimes, toot your teammates' horn sometimes, but it's okay. I think we learn so much by being vulnerable and saying, hey, we tried all these things. We did the best, but the result wasn't what we expected. And you learn from that.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. There is always really good learning in disaster or people not showing up. Exactly. So what you seem to have it all going on, right? We've got a great job. We're together. We're energetic. We may or may not be wearing pants. And what keeps you up at night? What bothers you? What's still rattling around in there that is on your mind?
Within work, we're talking events.
But, I mean, if you want to get down to personal stuff,
another episode, another time. We can get
okay. That's speaking of events, late night. That's a very exclusive podcast.
Carrie, I think it's one of those things where I take so much passion and pride in my work, and it's hard to turn it off sometimes, and it's hard to know when you just need to let a thing go. And I think that's keeping me up at night. I've had to learn and set boundaries when I say, okay, that email, it can wait tomorrow. That Slack, it can wait tomorrow. That fire drill, it really, at the end of the day, we're not like in healthcare. And I respect that. And I adore those who are, because we're sitting in marketing emails. We're doing speaking presentations. But at the end of the day, if it's a flub, hopefully no one's getting hurt. And so what I try to remind myself is that we do the best we can, and setting those boundaries so that I'm not staying up having late night thoughts about what I could have done better, what someone else could have done better, what happened. You got to just take what it is, move on, and pick up the pieces tomorrow.
That's a good personal life lesson too, for whatever is ailing you as well.
Learn from my mistakes, right?
Yes. Oh yeah. Oh, don't I know it. Well, what about getting a little more personal, if you don't mind, I mentioned your love and knowledge of animals, because you thought you were going to be a vet. So how did what happened? What turtle bit you to get you here? Take us back as far as you want.
I'll take you even before that, Carrie. I don't think I mentioned this last time. So when I was a kid, I was absolutely obsessed with dinosaurs, and I really thought I was going to become a paleontologist and live in the Badlands. That was my first goal growing up. Amongst a household of doctors and medical, I was like, I'm going to go dig up bones and fossils by myself.
Yeah.
Soon realized that wasn't the lifestyle for me. I love people. I love the comfort of downtown living, and that just wasn't for me. As far as the horse passion, so after the dinosaurs, I fell in love with horses. My dad put me on a horse when I was 3. I started competing when I was 8, and then took it into my college journey and became captain and started competing nationally. So it's something that's always been a big piece of me and a part of something that brings me passion. What I found was I took this internship actually back before I started freshman year. That's why I wanted to go to NC State. It has a great engineering program and a great vet school. And this may be kind of graphic, but I was working with I love off the track thoroughbreds. So those who are racehorses, I was able to rehab them, let them down, become horses again, and then retrain them and find them different homes in different disciplines. So with these, we were dealing with a lot of the very expensive, very rough animals that had been on the track, and all they knew was to be in a stall all day and to gallop.
Right.
So I remember there was a group of us watching a live castration that day. And I knew that moment when those who were going to go to vet school moved closer to go walk it. For me, I went to the back row, and that was my learning moment after the castration, getting kicked, bit, stomped on. I said, I love horses, but it's going to be my passion and my outlet and my de-stressor, but it just wasn't something I wanted to take and make into a career.
Wow. Yes. And congratulations. I'm pretty sure you're the first person in like 35 episodes to talk about castration. And that's exciting to me. Something new on the podcast. Wow. Yeah. That is okay. Yeah. I can't. Here? Yes. All right. Well, thanks for sharing that. So wait. Okay. So we move back from the video, which same. And then what was behind the barn? Like the marketing and events building? Like how did you then get
How did we get here? Yes.
Okay. You're like, honestly, no, I'm good. I'm gonna go next door to marketing.
The marketing barn is that way.
Yeah. Yes.
No, great point. All right. That was the moment I decided vet school. So honestly, I changed my major about 4 times. Finished in 4 years, did a lot of summer school.
Wow. That's impressive. And
all my prereqs, instead of fun electives, it was chemistry, bio, stat, all of that fun stuff. But at the end of the day, I ended with a communication degree. And that's something I would love to talk about, because coming out of college, no one at my time knew or appreciated or valued what that meant. And so a lot of my first 6 months out the gate, it was like, what are you going to do with that degree? Were you lazy? Do you have a plan? What is that? And so a lot of my initial entry-level jobs were me marketing myself into finding something that I was passionate about, or at least could make money to do my passions, like equestrian sport, do my passions where I could live in the places that I wanted. And so to be honest, I went into this communication that no one understood, and I marketed myself into marketing. And from there, I got into convenience and oil and gas and started branding with Circle K stores. Did that for about 2 years and just kept doing the grind and seeing, okay, am I passionate about this? What's missing? And for me, working with a bunch of fast food, Dairy Queen, Hardee's, Church's Chicken, like that's great. But for me, I am a geek about nutrition and health. And it wasn't something that I was passionate about forever. And so I took a deep dive to kind of figure out, okay, I'm good at this marketing thing, but what else is out there that I could be as passionate or at least passionate about to want to keep working in this field? And that's where I stumbled upon field marketing. I had no prerequisites to line me up for this, but I shot my shot. At this time, it was the pre-work from home days. So I was in North Carolina and I was like, I just have this plan where I want to move to Denver or Austin. I just want to start my life, get a better career trajectory, get in the startup tech lifestyle and level up my marketing career. And nice. So with the odds against me, I was able to beat out internal candidates, not having a great resume, but it was about the interview and connecting with people and showing the grit that I was there and that they would not regret hiring me. And so I joined Procore Technologies, and I'm very thankful that I was able to move and start my new life in Austin, Texas with them. And it was an amazing journey. And back in 2018, I mean, we had all the budget. We were doing all the events in person. You know, COVID wasn't even a thing there. So I would be in New York, Florida, California, Vegas, New Orleans. So I would be the creator and get to experience the event planning behind the scene. But the coolest part, and what I really fell in love with field marketing, is that you got to go experience that yourself, and you got to go be the handshake. You got to go be that person, that social person and extrovert that I love. I was able to carry that into the field and go do a Topgolf event and talk to clients all night and give them food and give them alcohol, but really getting to the bottom of it and getting to know them as people and hearing their pain points, whether that was, you know, axe throwing or happy hour or a NASCAR event. It's all about bringing these fun experiences. And that was the coolest part, Carrie, that I fell in love with, was being able to travel, see the world, see different people, do new things, and find a passion within marketing.
Wow. That's so cool. Your positivity and drive and energy, it's infectious. And good. I'm inspired. So thank you so much for that. Before I ask you the lightning round express questions, you don't need it. Somebody else would. You don't. Anything else you want to share? Anything else you would be sad this audience didn't hear? You shared a lot of awesomeness.
Yes, I will hone in on this again. Marketing is valuable. Please, across the departments, especially falling into the revenue driving piece, we are building pipeline and teeing up revenue and profitability for the company and for your salary. And so I would just say, go talk to your marketer. You have someone in marketing, go get to know them. Go see what the piece of the puzzle, whether that's design, whether that's copy, whether it's something within demand generation. It's a big piece of this puzzle that all makes our jobs work together and aligning on those shared goals. I challenge you all to go talk to a marketer within your company next week, for sure.
Ooh, challenge accepted. I love it. Excellent. Thank you. All right. Take a deep breath. And are you ready, Ashley Grandis, for our lightning express round?
All right, we can do some jumping jacks for this.
Oh, yes. Woo. Okay. 45 seconds on the clock. There's not a clock. And 7 questions. Are you ready?
Here we go.
What is your favorite moment in the event process?
Working with sales.
Woo. Who do you consider your mentor? You need more time. She needs more time. I know it's very high. I told you it's high pressure.
It's high pressure. Aside from my dad, I would say my director. He's grown.
Dad is good too. Dad's good too. Yeah. Dad and your director. Okay. Yeah. Good. Okay. Here's a softball. Ready? What's your cat's name?
Her name is Callie. I call her Kitty most of the time. She's probably very confused.
Oh, a very confused cat. Okay. What do you do every day to stay healthy and sane?
Orange Theory Fitness every morning, Monday through Friday.
Woohoo. Ooh, what time's your class?
7:30 Central.
Oh, nice. Nice.
And the work from home perks, you know?
Yes.
One has to spell me.
We don't know. I don't know if you showered and I don't want to know. Okay. All right. If you weren't talking to me right now, what would you be doing?
I would probably be in another meeting.
That's a difficult answer. Okay. If you had to choose, right? If you had to choose, if you could only have either one for transportation, what would you choose between a horse and a car?
Realistically, a car. Gotta be realistic on this one.
Okay. No. Oh, I thought you'd say
the horse will come later. The horse will come later for fun, not transport.
Okay. That's fair. And final question. What is the best way to take care of an event and marketing professional?
Communication. Communication and making sure your team is aligned.
All right. Oh, congratulations, Ashley, you did it. You went through the Lightning Express round. Woohoo, congrats. You did it, it was awesome. All right, where can people find, if they wanna connect with you and they wanna find you, where can they find you?
Please find me, I'm on LinkedIn, Ashley Grandis. Feel free to connect with me, open to any conversation.
I found you on LinkedIn. It was awesome. She connects. We'll put that in the show notes. Absolutely. Yeah. Anything else you want to share before we close out from this fabulous, energizing episode? I'm ready to go for the day.
You want to run now? No, this was great. Okay. I really appreciate your time. This was super fun. And I hope someone walked away learning something.
I did. If nobody else did, I did. It was awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much. We heard some very new things, some very unexpected new things, and maybe an image I won't get out of my head for a couple of days at least. And we really dug into the importance of marketing. I accept your challenge to connect with someone in marketing. It is a very, very important piece. So thank you so much for being here and sharing your knowledge and your energy with us. This was amazing. Thank you, Ashley Grandis. Yay. Thank you to our audience. Remember, if you like events, if you love events, even if you loathe events, and who does? Also, who loathes charcuterie? Because I want to know. Tell someone about this podcast and give us some stars. Ashley deserves it. Come on. Thank you again. Thank you for being here, Ashley. I really appreciate it. And whatever you speak about, remember to be speaking of events.
Speaking of events is sponsored by Ovation, the gold standard for professional presence and speaker development training, helping everyone get prepared, get confident, and get ovations.